Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this rich passage of the Word of God that we open today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you were awaited by holy men and women. And Father, help us to be that type of people in our generation. Help us to remember the promises of Scripture and to be awaiting your return. And for these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, probably one of the hardest things for young people especially, and maybe for all of us in the month of December, is simply being patient, you know, waiting for school to get over, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for just maybe that extra time off or that special day that you have planned. And we all need some patience. I heard about a little boy that is getting closer and closer to developing patience. He was standing at the end of the escalator at the shopping mall the other day as all the Christmas shoppers were going by, and a sales lady came up and said, Son, are you lost? And he said, No, ma'am, I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back. Now, that's a patient young man, amen? And so all of us need to learn and to grow in the matter of patience. And today we're going to learn of a man who had incredible patience, a man who waited perhaps when others mocked, a man who waited while others wondered, a man who waited while others no doubt doubted along the way. And this man's name is Simeon. And as we open up this chapter, we have been learning that Mary and Joseph obviously have come from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They have come according to the prophecies of God, according to the direction of the angel Gabriel. And as they have come now to Bethlehem, we have seen the beautiful story of how Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born and laid in Bethlehem's manger. According to the scriptures, 8 days later, his parents were to bring him faithfully to Jerusalem, there for the ceremonial cleansing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of this in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so Mary and Joseph, who have traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem, now are going, or to Bethlehem, are now going to travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem for this time of cleansing of their son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they left this place of Bethlehem, this city of bread, this city of David, they would have traveled perhaps about as far as we might travel from Costco to Lancaster Baptist Church, or maybe a little farther, just a 3 or 4 mile journey. They would have walked this journey, and they would have no doubt as they got a mile or so away, maybe a half a mile away, they would have begun to look up and they would have seen the holy city of Jerusalem. They would have seen the massive blocks that had been laid, and they would have come to this place with great reverence and with great joy in their heart. This was the time that Jesus Christ would come for the very first time to the temple. And I want you to think of that. And as they came, they would no doubt have come up what we refer to here as the teaching steps or the southern steps of the temple. And as they would come up these steps, Terry and I stood there just several months ago, here on the southern side of the temple wall. These steps were called the rabbi steps. Many times rabbis would stop and they would teach here. And also below these steps were the mitzvah baths. And these baths were perhaps used on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and 3,000 people were baptized there in Jerusalem. These particular steps led to what were called the Huldah gates. And it was through those gates that the common Jewish person could go up to the Temple Mount for the purpose of worship. And it was also known as the common person's gate. And it would have been through these gates that Jesus would have been brought by Joseph and Mary up the steps, this newborn child, for the purpose of this ceremonial cleansing. On this particular day, Mary and Joseph are going to walk up those steps. They're going to come into the temple and meet a man by the name of Simeon, a man whose faith had been spurred through the scriptures. And I want you to try to imagine Simeon up in age and a man that had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. A man who believed that. A man who waited for that. And I know that there were many other things going on, and the Roman Empire was repulsive and difficult on the Jewish people, and taxes were heavy, and oftentimes if they would have had internet or television, they would have heard bad news every day like we do. But somehow this man had the ability to clear all of the other things out of his mind and focus on this one truth, that the Messiah will come. And he lived for that. And wouldn't it be great if all of us this week could somehow push aside all of the other things and just remember, the Messiah has come and he will come again. And just focus on that. And this is the type of character that Simeon had. Now, as we look at his life, I want you to notice this morning the promise that was revealed to Simeon. The Bible tells us in verse number 25 that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And verse 26 says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, it's amazing to me that the Christmas story is really full of normal people like all of us. And whether it's shepherds, or whether it's carpenters or innkeepers, or whether it's this man, Simeon, God was revealing his truth to common men. And it was revealed to them through his word and by his Holy Spirit. And I want you to consider with me a question that I like to ask. Well, why Simeon? Do you ever wonder that? Why Joshua? Why not Caleb? Why Simeon? Why not someone else? What kind of man, what kind of woman does God come to with this type of news? We've already learned that Mary was blessed amongst women and highly favored and certainly a chosen vessel. And we can understand from studying the character of Mary, perhaps why Mary was chosen, but why Simeon? Why would God give this type of an inside news, if you will, to Simeon? Well, I believe it was given to many, but Simeon had the faith to cleave to it and to hold to it. Notice, first of all, that Simeon was a righteous man. The Bible tells us in verse 25 that there was a man named Simeon, and I want you to notice the characteristics that we read about Simeon. And gentlemen, just this morning, think about it, if you would, and personalize it for a moment, as I have done these last few weeks. Notice what the Bible says about him. First, it says he was a just man. The word just means he was righteous. It means he was innocent. He was a man who had no guile. He was a just man. Notice, secondly, he was a devout man. He was a man who spent time at the temple. He had high respect for the purpose of the temple, for the teachings of the rabbis, no doubt, for the role of the priest. He was a man who was just. He was a man who was devout. Let me just pause to say, we need men in 2016 who will be just and devout. men who will apply themselves, and even these next few weeks, think about your Bible reading or your prayer or your goals for your walk with God, and just say, Lord, I don't want to go the way of the world. I want to be like Simeon, just and devout. I don't want to be less involved in worshiping you. But Lord, I want to be devout. I want my children, my grandchildren, to sense and to see that worshiping you and singing your praises and being with your people matters to me. And nobody had to wonder about this man named Simeon. They knew that he was a godly, devout man. America needs devout men today. Men who will walk with God. And Simeon was that kind of a man. He was just and devout. And then notice what else it says about Simeon. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means messianic hope. He was waiting for the messianic hope of Israel. So here we see this godly, religious, if you will, or devout man who is waiting for the Messiah to come. We see the characteristics of this man. What kind of a man hears and receives and follows through on this matter of God's revelation? Certainly a man like Simeon. And then also we see the companion of Simeon. And I want you to notice his companion. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Would you say the last phrase of this verse with me, please? And the Holy Ghost was upon him. One more time. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, if you will recall, we are still in what could be referred to as the intertestament period here. For the New Testament, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ has not been accomplished. And so we are at a moment in time where we will read phrases like this, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. After the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and with the beginning of this era of the New Testament, we often hear about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are born again of the Spirit. And He abides in us. And we are filled with the Spirit. And thank the Lord for that. But in this moment, we read that the Holy Ghost was upon him, meaning that he was a man that had been endued with the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And he was, again, a holy man, a yielded man. And his companion, Simeon's companion, was the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to recognize that no matter what your family makeup is, no matter who has departed from you, either through death or separation, that if you are saved today, you have a companion this week, and he is the Holy Spirit of God. And Simeon was a man who was, by the world standard, alone, but he certainly was not alone. He was a man who had the Holy Ghost upon him. He was a man who spent time in the house of God. He was a man who was there waiting and happily waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8 and verse 4, we're not to walk after the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And I believe that Simeon, in today's vernacular, would be this type of man who was walking in the Spirit. And so this news came to a righteous man. This promise concerning Messiah came to a righteous man. But notice, secondly, it came to a receptive man. He was a receptive man. Now look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was a man who listened to the ministry and the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. Now I cannot explain how this works fully, but I have seen in 30 years now of preaching at Christmas time here at Lancaster Baptist Church, as 30 years have come and gone, there are people that are ready to receive, and there are people that are just closed in their spirit. Sometimes it goes through different seasons, and it may not have anything to do with a particular service or church, or it may be related to an event in their marriage. It may be related to some trouble at work. It may be related to various things, but there are people that are receptive, and there are people that are not receptive. And sometimes, as a preacher, you can even see it in body language. And it's always exciting to try to preach to somebody whose arms are closed and they're just kind of staring at you like, all right, just try to crack me if you can, you know. And sometimes you'd like to, but that's another message and not very Christmassy after all. Simeon, if he was sitting in church, would not have body language that says, I'm not interested. Simeon was a man who was ready to receive what God had for him. He was a man that truly was receptive in his heart. He was listening to what the Holy Spirit had to say. And it's interesting to me because there was a faithful Jewish remnant of people who were waiting for the Messiah. There are today a group of people, Christians as well as Jews who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who are our Christian brothers, Messianic Jews, we might call them. There are people today, there is a remnant today who are also awaiting the coming of the Lord. And they may not always be in the majority or in the headlines, but I'm thankful today that there are people who are right now looking for the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how the Bible describes these people of the first century, Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I don't know how it went exactly. I don't know if Simeon, when he walked through the temple and saw Anna, the holy, godly woman that she was, I don't know if he said something like this: "It could be today, Anna." I don't know if Anna said, "It could be today, Simeon." But somehow I get the sense that this faithful remnant, this group of people, this small group, though they were small in number, were determined to be ready for the time when the Messiah came, and they encourage one another. And I believe that when we come to Lancaster Baptist Church and when we hear about all the news going on in society and all the difficulty and all of the false religion and all of the challenges, that we need to come here to remind each other, hey, there's some good news. Jesus is coming again. And we just need to keep that in. Someone says, "Well, I tell you right now, I don't like where they put the manger. It's over here, not over here." Hey, Jesus is coming again. "I tell you right now, I'm sick and tired of being treated," or whatever someone's problem is. You know what you might say? "Jesus is coming again." Can I just say to you this morning, my friend, that we can learn an awful lot from Simeon and Anna. I don't believe that Simeon and Anna were the kind of people that were always just negative and down in the dumps, off on some little side fleshly issue. They were holy. They kept the main thing the main thing. And the main thing was Jesus was going to come. The consolation. Hey, listen, don't let the devil get you sidetracked this week. Just stay focused on the fact that Jesus Christ has come. Amen? Simeon was that kind of a man. And God will not force himself on someone, but he will come to those who have receptive hearts. I think of Samuel. In your notes there, 1 Samuel 3:10, he said to the Lord, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Speak. "For thy servant heareth." Let's say that together. "Speak, for thy servant." See, that's the kind of man Simeon was. It wasn't like the Holy Ghost had to blast through brick and mortar in his heart. His spirit was, "Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. What do you want to say?" He was a righteous man, and we need those kind of men. He was a receptive man, and we need those kind of men. Notice, thirdly, he was a ready man. Look at verse 27, the Bible says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." He came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's wonderful. But the Holy Ghost was leading him as well. He didn't just kind of walk in there on his own volition. There's nothing else to do. The Bible says that God is about to intersect his path with Mary and Joseph. Now, how many of you believe in divine appointments? I do. I believe there are moments in our life when God arranges stuff that we couldn't arrange. And I believe God's about to do that in Simeon's life because the Holy Spirit had said, "Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Not hear about him, not have someone else tell you about him, until you see him." And so isn't it interesting that it does not say Simeon decided to walk in when Jesus was there. It says the Holy Spirit led him in. The Holy Spirit brought him in. Oh, how we need men that are ready to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. What if the Holy Spirit this week was to lead you to witness to a friend or neighbor? What if the Holy Spirit was to lead you to witness to a relative? How many of you understand if that relative accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that would be a divine intersection? But if you're not ready to listen, it will never happen. Simeon was a man following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. And we see many like this in the Bible. The Bible tells us the shepherds were this way. Luke 2 and 15, when they heard about Jesus, it says that they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this child." And I think of Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. The Bible says, after the Holy Spirit directed him to go to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says, Philip ran thither to join him. I'm just saying, my friend, when God's Holy Spirit puts something on your heart, whether it's to go witness to someone or encourage a missionary, or whether it's to take your child out for a Coke and French fries or a celery or whatever you want to do, listen, my friend, whatever God is putting on your heart, you ought to listen to what God's putting on your heart. He may have something that he wants you to say to your spouse this week. There may be something he wants you to say to someone who's lost this week. And I'm just simply telling you that the unsaved world, one of the reasons they mock our faith is because we don't even speak up for Jesus when it's his birthday. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak, be like Simeon. Be ready to do what God wants you to do. God was leading Simeon to come in at the exact time that Jesus was going to be presented. And Simeon simply followed to do what God wanted him to do. George Mueller, the great British preacher and philanthropist and the man who ran so many orphanages in Bristol, England, said, 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. In other words, someone says, well, I don't know what God's will is concerning my marriage, concerning my children, concerning someone that's lost. Look at, you may not know what God's will is, but you can right now this morning say, Lord, I am ready for whatever your will is. Okay, that's the kind of man Simeon was. He was ready to do the bidding of God for his life. And so we see the promise was revealed, and it was revealed to a man, how many of you would agree with me, who was a very unique man of God? He was a man willing and ready to be used of God, being led of the Holy Spirit, like the deacons of old, full of faith and full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. And here we see that this man was a man ready to be used of God. The promise was revealed. Notice, secondly, the baby was received. Now, as God had declared, you're not going to die until you see the Christ child. Look what happens in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now notice, if you will, the presentation of Jesus. And I want you to just take note that God always keeps his promises. Amen. God had promised this old man, you're not going to die until you see the Christ child. And here we see God keeping his promise. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot trust Santa Claus, but you can trust Jesus Christ. Amen. One person said, Santa, all I want for Christmas is a slim body and a fat bank account. Try not to mix it up like you did last year. Listen, Satan gets it. Santa Claus gets it mixed up. Satan does too. But Jesus never fails. And he said, you're going to see the Christ child. And he did. Listen, all Simeon wanted was Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm telling you, people sometimes even come to church for different reasons. Sometimes people come to church looking for business opportunities. Boy, and the first time you don't do business with them, they get bitter. Sometimes people come to church looking for Mr. Right. Sometimes people come to church looking for different things. And to some extent, that's okay. But I got to tell you something. If you are not here this morning fundamentally looking to know more about Jesus Christ, you're going to be disappointed. Because Mr. Right's not so right all the time. And business is up and down, and people disappoint. Simeon was not in the temple to get an attaboy. He was not in the temple to get his name on a plaque. Simeon was there for one reason, for Jesus. And there is one reason that we should be here this morning, and that is to see and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he not only saw him, look at verse 28. He took him in his arms. Whoa. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. Fellowship up in heaven is going to be pretty cool. You know, I want to hear Elijah talk about, you know, the battle with the prophets of Baal, don't you? I want to hear about the fire coming down from heaven. I mean, I want to hear about what it must have felt like for John the Baptist to see Jesus coming down the Jordan. I want to hear about the stories of old, but here's a story that Simeon gets to tell for all of eternity. You know, he's going to say, I remember that day when Joseph and Mary came in. Oh, they looked weary. They walked up those steps. Seemed like that day was just another day until the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart to go into the temple. And when I did, there he was. I knew instantly who it was. And then I held the Son of God in my arms. Now, we're going to be going, now I remember that day when, you know, it was really windy once in Lancaster, and, you know, we went to church and everything. We had a potluck afterwards. Our stories are going to be really boring compared to some of theirs, right? How many of you agree with me? What an amazing thought just to hold the Christ child. God said, you're not going to die until you see him. And God gave him a close-up look. And the Bible says he held the Lord Jesus. In fact, in verse 28, it says he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He blessed God and said, and the word blessed is the Greek word eulogeo or eulogeo, which speaks of a eulogy that was given. And he blessed the Lord for what had been done. And then notice in verse 29, not only the presentation of Jesus, but the pronouncement of Simeon in verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Here's a man who says, Lord, I'm ready to depart. That word means to be released, to be set free, as if he was being held down in this earth, as if just being on the earth was, there was nothing left to it for him except to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, now I've seen my Messiah. I've seen my Savior. I am ready now. I am fine with dying. I am ready to go because I have seen Christ. And may I say this morning that nobody on this planet is ready to die until they meet the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Nobody. But when you know Christ as your Savior, then you are ready to meet your Maker. There was a time in this country when every soldier coming through boot camp would receive a government-issued Bible. I've seen many of them. And that New Testament Bible was given to our soldiers so that they might be able to find Christ. I've seen several of them with the gospel plan of salvation right in it. So that they might know the Lord. Thank God there was enough Christian influence that somehow it was not deemed unconstitutional to give a Bible to a soldier. And in this period in which we live, when we're hearing more and more about celebrations of Ramadan and all these different false religions, I just believe we need to get back to the place of recognizing the fact that we live in a Christian nation and that Christmas is the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. We don't need to apologize for it. We don't need to back down for it. We just need to be thankful that he came to save us from our sin. Because nobody is ready for eternity until they meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon said, that is the summation of my life. I'm ready to see the Lord. I'm ready to go to heaven. I have seen the Lord Jesus. And so we see the baby was received. But notice finally, the Savior was recognized. Now, we're going to just take a moment and look at some of the most incredible Christmas passages that you could ever read. And I want you to just look at them with me. Verse 30. The Bible says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, I want you to notice as this eulogy is given, as this blessing is given, that Simeon, first of all, gives praise for the Savior. He begins to burst forth in eulogy, perhaps in song, perhaps a higher pitched voice. And we see that this is a salvation song, verse 30, or verse 1 of the song, if you will. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a wonderful song. Sometimes we sing victory in Jesus. Sometimes we sing standing on the promises. Sometimes we sing when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But verse 1 of this song is, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This was a salvation song. Notice secondly, it was a missions song. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Here we see the song for the missionary. Here we're mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not come for a select few. He came for all people. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was a salvation song. This was a mission song. The gospel would be for all people. Yes, he would save his people from their sin. But whosoever would call upon the Lord would be saved. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, salvation was given through Jesus Christ for all people, and Simeon is now speaking forth great theological truth in this eulogy, or in this song of praise. He is giving out a great truth for the Lord, praise for the Savior. Notice, secondly, the power of the Savior is mentioned. In verse 31, the Bible says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Notice the Bible uses the word prepared. That is to say, to make ready. God had carefully predetermined a plan whereby his son would be born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was a prepared gift. Now I want you to think about that. You may have a special gift this week that you've prepared and thought about for months. There may be something that you've made, something that you've wrapped, something that you've had on layaway. And it was thought something that was in your thoughts for many months. But I want you to know that in eternity past, God prepared a way of our redemption. And that miraculous way involved the Holy Ghost coming upon this simple and yet pure and holy woman, Mary. And it involved God being given to us through Mary in the form of Jesus Christ as God's Son. And we see here in the word, verse 31, prepared, which thou hast prepared. Notice it says, for the face of all people. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Simeon understood that Christ had been prepared in eternity past. This plan was prepared and now delivered for those who would believe. And the Bible tells us in this passage, for Jews and Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whether Jew or Gentile, Jesus Christ was prepared and delivered so that all who would believe could have salvation. This song that Simeon is singing is a salvation song. This song that Simeon is singing is a missionary song. And so we see praise for the Savior. And we see the power of our Savior to save the entire world. But notice also the price of salvation. You see, Jesus Christ came to save the world, but there would be a great price that would be paid. And I think it's amazing that in this song that is given, in this blessing, that we also see a foretelling of the pain that Jesus would make and that Jesus would show. The Bible says in verse 34, and Simeon, in verse 33, Joseph and Mary marveled at all these things. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. Now listen to these words. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Now, this was a salvation song, no question. And it was a mission song, and it was a prophetic song. And Mary and Joseph, when they heard the song, were just amazed that their son was going to bring all of these blessings, and that Simeon knew all about it, and that God had intersected their path. And Mary and Joseph marveled at this song. And after the marveling, there's an addendum given to them by Simeon when he says, "Behold." And notice the three things that he tells us about what Jesus would do. There are three pictures, if you will, about the price that Jesus would pay. First, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Take note of that word set, because it reminds us of the word stone. And we see that Jesus Christ is the stone that would be rejected. He is set as a stone, Acts 4:11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Some would fall because of Christ. They would reject him. Others would rise again and be given life because of Christ. And my friend, Simeon's prophecy is true to this very day. I want you to see it here. Thy child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. For those who reject Christ, for those who stumble at the stone of Christ, they will fall and they will utterly perish for all of eternity. For those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will rise again, and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air. And so Jesus Christ is set for the fall and for the rising again of many. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Jesus is set for the rise and the fall of many. For those who believe, they will rise. For those who reject, they will fall. The message is true today. No matter what's happening in America, economically or politically, the question of all time is still this question. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, or have you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? Because here we see in Simeon's song, and now in his prophecy, that Jesus Christ came and he forces a decision to be made. And you will either stumble and fall, or you will be risen in faith according to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see, first of all, Jesus referred to as a stone, or the setting of the stone. Notice, secondly, there is mention of a sign. Notice this. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now, Jesus is referred to as the one that is set, or the stone. He is referred to here as a sign or a miracle. Now, Jesus Christ is God's miracle of miracles. Amen. What a miracle we celebrate this week. Here he is referred to as a sign, John 20:30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. When we read about the sign, we read in the New Testament often about the miracles, or we call them the sign miracles or the sign gifts, miraculous signs that tell us of the truth of God. And here we see that Jesus Christ was the greatest sign ever given to man. But notice what it says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Would you say that phrase with me? And for a sign which shall be spoken against. One more time. And for a the Pharisees said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. That's what the Pharisees said against Jesus Christ. Now, and I'll just give you a little hint here. If you haven't lived as a Christian long enough to figure this out, if you are going to witness to some people, or if you are going to let them know that you believe in Christ, if you're going to give them a gospel tract, somebody might snicker at you. And if your goal in life is self-preservation, you may never tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But if your goal in life is Christ exaltation, then here's what you can expect. Because if they would say to Jesus, you can only do those miracles by the power of the devil, if they would accuse Jesus of being demon-empowered, What ugly thing might they say about you? And we see this in our society today, as our society rejects Christ. Nevertheless, he was given as a sign. And my friends, we have nothing to be ashamed of and everything to be grateful for. We serve a God who loved us so much that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He died upon the cross. And you can study every world religion that exists, and you will not find an empty tomb anywhere except outside of Jerusalem, there at that garden tomb where Jesus Christ, who suffered and died, rose again on the third day. What a sign God has given to us. Jesus is the stone that was set for the rising and the fall of many in Israel. Jesus is the sign that was given that we might know the love of God. And then notice finally, there is the sword. Isn't this interesting what Simeon says to Mary? I mean, it was such a joyful moment. It was a salvation song. It was a missionary song. Jesus is the stone. Jesus is the sign that would come. But look at this final verse. In verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, the child is set for the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Isn't that amazing? Not what you usually tell a brand new mother, right? I mean, I have presided over dozens of baby dedications. I have never one time said to a mother, there's going to be a piercing of your soul. And mothers would testify to the fact that they've had disappointments in situations that were not expected. But nobody could have prepared Mary for the piercing of the soul that she would experience. And Simeon says, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Simeon is here foretelling the pain that Mary would experience. And you remember Jesus on the cross as the soldiers mocked him and as the blood flowed down and as he suffered there, his ligaments being torn and his body being broken, and as he was there for our sin, he looked down to John, the beloved, and he said, behold thy mother. Today's language, take care of Mary, John. No doubt with compassion, Jesus knew the piercing of soul that she must have experienced to watch her son, God's son, suffer and die on the cross. The real gift of Christmas is not merely what we celebrate in the manger. It is what took place upon the cross of Calvary, that God would die for us. God revealed his promise to a spirit-filled man. I want to ask you two questions as we close this morning. First, are you the kind of man or woman that could have received this message from God? Are you walking in a devout way with the Lord? Are you ready? Are you under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Are you the type of person who would have the faith to believe something as audacious as the fact that Jesus Christ could come again in the clouds of the air? Do you believe that today? Do you ever talk about it? Someone says, well, that's all good. As long as it happens after I get married. That's all fine as long as it happens after vacation or right after Christmas, Lord. But I'm just saying, are you the type of Christian that's anticipating the coming of the Messiah? Because he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that God would raise up some Simeons in our church. And then let me ask you this today. Are you ready to see the Lord in heaven? Has there been a time in your life when you recognized that as a sinner, you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you called out to Christ and by faith accepted Him as your Savior? Because if you've done that, then like Simeon of old, you can say, I'm ready to depart in peace. Jesus has covered my sin. I am saved, pardoned, sanctified. I am ready for heaven. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are ready to depart. If you have rejected Christ as Savior, you are not ready to leave this planet. And so I ask you this question. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received that gift? Have you called out to the Lord and asked Him to save you? And if not, why not today? Why not this Christmas season receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord?